I'm doing a repeat this morning on Zacchaeus. And in my defense, you weren't here the first time. 2 years ago, as we shut down for COVID, and we were nearing Easter, and this was requested by my friend Mason Joe. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And when the Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree. And he said, Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house today. I'm going to your house today. Do you remember the song? Do you remember the hand motions? Climb up the tree, look for the Savior, right? Who was Zacchaeus looking for when he climbed up in the tree? Jesus, no doubt about it. That's what the story says. He was looking for Jesus. Luke's telling of the story specifically says he wanted to see Jesus. Luke doesn't really tell us why Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. We're going to look at the story a little closer, but before we do, let's look at what Luke presented just before that, just so that we get the context right. Luke lays these stories out so cleverly. Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. He had set his face toward Jerusalem for the final time. It was a week or so before Passover, that annual feast that we now mark with Easter. It was that very Passover time that we, from which we get Easter, our most holy day. And now as we are nearing Easter time again, let's look here and see what was going on with Jesus. I want you in the next days and weeks to be thinking about what was going on with Jesus in those days as we come to Easter. Jesus had been preparing his disciples for his own death, his departure. He had been telling them that the time was near. And they said, don't go to Jerusalem. They knew Passover would be a dangerous time for Jesus to be in Jerusalem. It was always tense at Passover. A lot of extra people in the city. There was a lot of political things going on, rebellious feelings against Rome. There were important people who wanted Jesus dead, and the disciples knew it. Lord, don't go. But Jesus knew it was his time. He knew the time had come. In chapter 18 of Luke, we read about a rich official. We call him the rich young official who Jesus met on his way to Jerusalem. And the man asked Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life? So we know what that man was looking for. What must I do to inherit eternal life? He wanted eternal life. Now, he ask a valid question. It's still a valid question, isn't it? What must I do to inherit eternal life? You might not use those words, but even people who say they're not religious wonder what's after this. What happens to me when this body gives up? Why did that rich man ask Jesus about eternal life? What did he think Jesus could do about it? He was a religious, well-trained Jewish man. He said that he kept the law well. He was a wealthy man. He surely had good connections. It doesn't seem like he was trying to trap Jesus or trick him. Perhaps he really was seeking the kingdom of God. He lived the religious life, but he seems to be knowing that there's something more. But when Jesus answered him, he struggled because Jesus could see the man's motives, and he said, you need to sell everything you have and give it to the poor. You see, Jesus recognized that the man's wealth was becoming between him and God. But when he told the man that, the man went away sorrowfully. We don't know what his decision was. The man had to decide what he believed about Jesus. He had to decide if God's kingdom was better than his own. And then as Jesus came nearer to Jericho, which was about 17 miles from Jerusalem, he encountered a blind man. As it tells us there in chapter 18, when this blind beggar heard the crowds of people talking about, well, you know, this man who was in town, the blind man asked him, "What's going on?" And he was told that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And the man called out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." That's an interesting title, Son of David. The blind man knew something about Scripture and the genealogy of the Messiah. He called to Jesus again, and Jesus told the people to bring that blind beggar to him, and he asked the man, "What do you want me to do for you?" Can you imagine the Messiah on his way to be executed stopping to ask you, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the man said, "I want to see. I want my vision." And Jesus immediately gave him his sight just by speaking a command. It wasn't hard for Jesus. He didn't have to do any tricks. The man didn't have to do any tricks or follow any formulas. Jesus was involved in creation. All he had to do was speak, and the man could see again. Now, it's almost comical how Luke sets this up, where he restored this blind man's sight with only a command. The man just asked and he believed, and Jesus did it. The strange part is that the religious leaders were unable to see that Jesus was the Messiah. A blind man could see it. Literally, "Son of David, have mercy on me." But the religious leaders could not see it. They were teachers and custodians of the law, and yet they were blind to God being in their midst. They were not willing to see. They refused to see the truth. Luke was inspired to write these things and collect these stories and put them in this order. And then Jesus entered Jericho, and this short fellow climbed up a tree. I don't think that would have been common to see a man in a tree. Probably common to see kids in trees. It might have been uncommon to see a man in a tree. What was this guy looking for? Why was he in the tree? Luke tells the story like this. Jesus entered Jericho, and he was passing through. And there was a man there by the name of Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was wealthy. Now, Zacchaeus wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So Zacchaeus went ahead and climbed up in a sycamore fig tree because Jesus was going that way. And when Jesus got to that point, he looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately because I must go to your house today." At once, Zacchaeus came down the tree and he greeted Jesus gladly. Now the people saw what happened, and they begin to mutter, "He has gone to the house of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and spoke to the Lord. He said, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay it back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house. For this man too is a son of Abraham. I think he was looking at the other Jews when he said that. This man too is a son of Abraham. And the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost. Zacchaeus was looking for Jesus. There's no doubt. He went to the trouble to climb up a tree to see Jesus. This wee little man. But why did he want to see Jesus? Why was it so important that he would humiliate himself enough to climb up in a tree? It doesn't really tell us what was on Zac's mind, except he wanted to see Jesus. Maybe like many people, he just wanted to see what the excitement was about. Or did he want some kind of healing? Did he want to be taller? I've had that feeling. I remember growing up asking, Lord, make me taller. Zac was never going to be on the Jericho starting five as a wee little man. Did he just want to see the man who speaks to storms, who heals the lame, who gives sight to the blind, or raises his friend out of the grave 3 days later? Maybe Zac wanted some new friends. As a chief tax collector, he was not well liked. The crowds called him a sinner. Tax collectors were known to be crooks. They made their profit just by getting all they could. He represented a foreign government. He took the taxes for Rome. And so the Jewish people considered him to be a traitor. Did he want wealth, more wealth? Did he want peace? Did he want eternal life like the rich official? Again, the story doesn't tell us his deeper motivation, but he was earnestly wanting to know something about Jesus. And he took some initiative to get closer to Jesus, to at least see him. And notice this, then Jesus took the initiative. The man made some effort to seek Jesus, and Jesus came to him. If you will just look for the Lord, He will find you. We may not know exactly what Zac wanted, but we know what he received. He received a personal visit from the Messiah. He may not have wanted the crowd's attention, but Jesus walked right up to the tree like he was talking to a long-lost friend. Zac, come down now. I'm going to stay at your house today. Can you imagine Jesus inviting himself to Zac's house? Can you imagine what that was like? Zac up in the tree, what? You want to go to my house? And Jesus saying, get out of that tree, let's go. See something else Zac received that day? He received validation from the coolest guy in town, the one everybody was talking about. The crowds were criticizing Jesus for going to a sinner's house, but Jesus raised Zac's rep big time that day. Zacchaeus also received joy from the man who was in most high demand. Jesus could have gone to any home in Jericho. There were important leaders in the town that he could have gone to visit. He could have set up a press conference, but he went to the house of a sinner. Why? It was the last verse in that passage. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. Can you imagine the joy out of all that crowd of being selected by Jesus? Can you imagine that? Being chosen by Jesus? You don't have to imagine it. He chose you. He chose you. Revelation says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone will just open the door and invite me in, I will come in and be with them." He has chosen you. And the most important thing that Zacchaeus received that day was salvation. Jesus declared, "Today salvation has come to this house." And like I said, I think he was speaking to the Jews who had been calling Zac a traitor when Jesus said, "This man too is a son of Abraham." He is included. You see, Paul helps us understand and Peter. The real children of Abraham are those who follow Jesus, who have received the kingdom of God. And I don't want to shock you or upset your plan, but Luke never tells us that Zacchaeus prayed a sinner's prayer or received Jesus into his heart. He doesn't use those words. But look at the evidence. Do you see the evidence of the change in Zac's life? "Look, Lord, right here and now, I give half of everything I own to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody, I'll pay it back four times." Four times was well beyond anything the law required. There was a true repentance, a true change in this man. And Jesus recognized what happened. Jesus said, "Today salvation has come to this house." I would just point out too that Zacchaeus called him Lord. Lord. There are baptized people in our churches who have not really made Jesus their Lord. And here this tax collector, sinner, traitor says, "You're Lord. And I'm changing the way I live." Zac's decisions and his actions are demonstrated in his new belief. Are your actions revealing your faith? Let me get in your business just a little bit. Is your life revealing your faith? Jesus recognized it. What are you looking for, Zac? Rich young ruler, blind man, what are you looking for? We all have to answer that question, don't we? What are you looking for? Why are you here in church? Why do you identify yourself as a Christian? What are you looking for? What do you want Jesus to do? Let's simply follow the pattern of what we've seen, how we've seen Jesus engage these people. First of all, ask God for what you need. Jesus said, "What do you need? What do you want?" Ask Him. Now, if you're going to ask Jesus for what you need, be willing to hear the answer. Be willing to change your mind. Jesus might reveal what you really need. And He wants to give it to you. He wants you to have eternal life. He wants you to have joy and peace now. Ask God for what you need. Be willing to see and to hear the truth. And believe that Jesus is Lord. Place your trust in Him. Trust God more than anyone or anything else. You see, Zacchaeus had gone the wrong way in his life. He was lost. He was a Jewish man. He was technically a child of Abraham. But he'd gone the wrong way. He'd gotten off the path. He was lost. Jesus came to seek and save the lost, and He brought Zac back into the family. And He wants to do the same thing for all of us. And for our friends and our neighbors. And last week we talked about how important it is for them to hear the story. Can you imagine just sharing the Zacchaeus story with your neighbor's kids? Jesus wants you to have eternal life. He chooses you just like he chose Zacchaeus that day. Will you look for him? Would you climb up a tree? Would you humiliate yourself? What step would you take to be closer to Jesus? And we already know what Jesus will do. He is already pursuing you. He has already chosen you. He's knocking at the door. If you have not made that choice to put your faith in Jesus, you need to do so today. You don't need to pray about it. You just need to do it. And today's a good day to do it. And when we sing here in just a moment, we're going to invite you to come and publicly say, I'm giving up my life and I'm following Jesus. And Christian, are you living for Jesus? Is your life reflecting his character? Do you act like a citizen of the kingdom of God? We're good at being patriotic. And in Texas, we want everybody to know where we live, right? I'm Texan. Do people know that we're part of God's kingdom? What do you need to do today? Music team, come, please.